Welcome to the Lovejoy Hour, sponsored by Cook 100 degree boiling hot water straight from the kitchen tap. Mine also does chilled filtered water and chilled filtered sparkling water. Sparkling filtered water, filtered sparkling water. Not sure which way around I should say that, really. It's all very confusing. Mark, do you miss? Mark's back. Hooray, Mark. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Tim. Hi, everybody.
Do you miss the sparkling water when you come round to my house?
Yeah, I do. It's the thing I miss the most, actually, about coming round your house.
That's very kind of you. That or my cat, probably.
Yeah. How is she?
She's great. Can I just say, by the way, if you want to get involved in Cooker, if you've got the cash, they're well worth it. Go to cooker.co.uk. Yeah, she's all right. It was about 6 months or so ago. I thought that was it. She'd gone. I thought she was dying because she just got already kind of like, she's really old. I think she's 15 or 16 now. So, but no, she's okay. And she's just feeling sprightly. So that's good. Let me tell you what we've got on the show today. We've got the world famous Liam Gallagher takes you out for a couple of drinks quiz towards the end. Well worth staying tuned for that. We've got some questions from our listeners. We've got what we're watching. We've got our moans. We've got, we've got just the normal sort of stuff. Let's start with you, Mark. You amused me the other day because you went foraging. You're now a mushroom picker.
Well, you say that. Yes, I did go foraging. No, I'm not a mushroom picker. I went on a guided tour of the Surrey Hills, looking at different, with a botanist called the Female Forager. And she showed us all the different types of mushrooms, which ones you can eat, which ones you can't, which ones are psychedelic, which ones are too dangerous. And it was a fascinating thing. There was about 20 people all outside, all walking around. And she was very entertaining. She knew exactly what she was talking about. And she was really into the kind of health side of mushrooms, you know, actually what they can do for you. Yeah. And there were some good, some good names of mushrooms. There's the puffball, which I like, the blusher, the buttercap. I like the scaly honey fungus. I like the purple jelly discs, but my favourite was the hairy curtain crust, which I'm sure you all.
did you see them all those ones?
Yeah, that was just in like a couple of hours, just walking around the wood. There was loads of the purple deceiver.
When you become a mushroom picker like you are,
an expert like I am from 2 hours.
Do you feel like a genuine mammal as you're strolling through the Surrey countryside?
Yeah,
and it did. Look at mushrooms.
It did make. It's so funny. We walk past this log and there's this like, the first one we saw was the hairy curtain crust. And it's just like this. And you go, and you told us all about it. And like, I've never known. I mean, I've seen that before, but I've never looked at it. And then you start looking at it, feeling it. And then everywhere you went, you're looking on the ground going, what's this? And she would tell you, what's that? And they're everywhere. Mushrooms are, fungus are absolutely everywhere in the woods.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating thing to do.
If you do want to become a mushroom picker like Mark, you've got to be very, very, very careful, because there's that story, wasn't there, about those people that went foraging. I think the husband or the wife went foraging, picked a load of mushrooms. I'm sort of only half know this story.
Sounds apocryphal.
She went home. No, it's a factual story. No, she went home and he did, and they cooked the meal and for some friends, some neighbors. And I think three of them died. And because it goes, is it your kidneys or your liver? I can never work out which one it is, but it just...
I'm a mushroom picker, Tim, not a doctor.
All right, yeah, mushroom picker. All right, mushroom picker, how's your podcast going?
Yeah, very good. I'm doing a podcast with Nick Hancock from Room 101, and I think it's all over. You'll remember him. And Chris England, who has been on your podcast several times. We're doing a football podcast called The Famous Sloping Pitch, which goes out every Friday morning. Yeah, very much enjoying it. Very nice. We're in what I've really enjoyed, because I come from a background of radio, is being in an actual studio and timing it like a radio show and having an ad break and doing all that sort of stuff. That's been sitting in a proper radio studio has been... I don't get me wrong, I love doing podcasts and I love the fact that we can do this. But it's like, because you get to go into Sunday brunch every week. And there's a realm of sort of professionals and do you know what I mean? Sort of professionalism, you know, how do you say that word? Professionalism.
Professionalism.
I wouldn't know how to say that. So that's a really refreshing angle. But Nick and Chris are hilarious. And and then we've had some really good guests on. Our first guest, obviously, being the strongest, you know.
Me, yes, yeah, I was great. Yes. I was great. Hey, listen, I on my last podcast, a couple of podcasts ago, well, you know, because you still helped me produce them, but even though you know you left me to go and do another.
Oh, I got fired.
Can you imagine?
Fired for stealing.
Yeah, I fired you. I said I'd been talking to some like podcast experts, and they were saying that I got it all wrong because I was doing the celebrities and the authors and the experts, and I was doing them all. That I needed to focus on just one, and I needed to do seasons and you know episodes and series and all that. And I was like, oh, what? Fuck that. Yeah. Do you remember why we got into this, Mark? It was to just have a laugh, wasn't it? Yeah. And it's like, I mean, I just don't know what's going on with it now. But I put that out there, and someone, Matthew, tweeted me to say, I thought we lived in a post-expert world. Please don't change a thing about your podcast. Been a fan from the beginning, and Mondays wouldn't be the same without them. So I'm going to do a bit of ego corner here.
I was going to say, we seem to have gone round the roundabout back down into ego corner.
We have. Tim, this one's from... Katie, she says, first time emailer, just listened to your podcast, felt compelled to give you some feedback. This was about the Sean Keaveney one. Aside from my undying love and admiration for Sean's body of work, which would suggest that I would enjoy the content, I also found I had a total connection around your discussion about mental health, especially your experience with not being able to listen to music. I don't know whether you listened to this one, Mark, but we're on halfway through the Sean Keaveney one. Well, actually, towards the end, I really love Sean Keaveney's show on Six Music, but there was a time where, and you remember this, when I was going through a bad stage, that I just refused to listen to music because it just sort of... I don't know. It triggered me. That's a very modern word, isn't it? She says, she said she also couldn't bear to listen to it. An opening bar or note would send me into panic. I did this as well. If I didn't switch it off quickly, over the years, I've experienced painful relationship splits, and song can instantly transport me back to a specific moment in time. But now I'm able to deal with it and no longer immediately crumple into an emotional heap. It was interesting to hear you had both experienced mental health issues, and your retelling of it made so much more normal, if that's the right word. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't really bang on about my mental health all the time. I do on this podcast, actually, but not out on TV terms, because I just don't, you know, I'm trying to do entertainment and stuff, not talk about my mental health. But Mark, did you ever get that where you can't listen to music?
Not to that extreme, no.
Because you find it, so comforting, don't you?
Yeah, I'm always listening to, as you know, always listening to something, whether it's podcast, audiobook, or music. Yeah, no, and the music I listen to doesn't challenge me in any way.
But doesn't, you know, like say you listen to an old, I don't know,
I know what you're getting at, which is it reminds you of a time. And I have obviously got that music, but I probably in the first place wouldn't put it on. And if I did, I'd just go, oh yeah, I remember that time. Oh well. I mean, it's not the music's fault.
So Brad has sent in this great email to us, well, to me. It's the only podcast that I can bear. Great topics and non-pretentious presenting and guests. Thank you for keeping me sane. I would like to hear a podcast on finance. I'm 48 and haven't saved a penny and spent all the money on rubbish. Pub's not rubbish. Pub is not rubbish. I promise you. That was one of the big things during the pandemic I really missed was the pub. Because as John Lloyd said, do you remember John Lloyd when he did the podcast?
He said,
you know, I said, what's the meaning of life? And he said, sitting in the pub with your mates having a pint is quite close to it, or something like that. And I was just like, yeah, that's right, isn't it? You know, having a few beers with your mates, having a chat and laughing, which is what always happens when you go to a pub. So, but I will try and get someone on from a finance background. And and just the final one, this is from Sarah, who said, I just want to say how much I enjoyed your recent podcast with Des Powell. My late father is in the regiment following national service as part of Calvert's original Malayan Scouts A Squadron during the SAS post-war coming of age. She goes on to talk a lot about all his missions and everything, but she comes to the end and said, when Andy McNab had Bravo 2.0 published, my father was not only mortified that he'd broken the Official Secrets Act, which my father had been required to sign, but also felt that Andy had littered his account with lots of poetic license. Listening to your interview with Des sounded a lot closer to the account that my father shared with me. He shared very few. I suppose that's always the thing, isn't it? That, you know, if you're in the SAS or, you know, you're in a football dressing room, you really shouldn't be sharing your story until a lot later, you know, a lot later in time. And Des was great on the podcast, though, and he didn't, I don't know, I don't think he hyped it at all. I think he told the truth. Right, Mark, what have you been watching? Let's go into that.
Righto, what have I been watching? Now, let me see. Now, I haven't really been watching Netflix as much as I used to, I think. I've been actually making the most of being able to go back to the cinema. But did we discuss the Untold sports series last time we spoke?
Yeah, we did that one. That was fantastic.
That's terrific.
Yeah, that was all brilliant, weren't they? Every single one of those. What have you seen at the cinema then?
Okay, well, I saw The Last Duel, which is the Jodie Comer, Affleck, Damon, Adam Driver film about the last ever duel. You know, where you used to go and fight. If you had a disagreement, you'd settle it to the death with swords.
Right. Okay. Where was that played out? Was that England or America? Oh, England. France.
Yeah. Okay. That was really good. Bond, obviously. Many Saints in Newark, which is the Sopranos.
Hold on. Go back to Bond. I have just so not interest in Bond. Any good?
Yeah. I mean, it's very entertaining. Okay. I went with my dad and we enjoyed it. Yeah. I saw the Many Saints in Newark, which is the Sopranos thing, which I think everybody agrees who's seen it says, unless you've seen The Sopranos, it will do nothing for you.
Was it good for you? Because you've watched... How many times have you watched Sopranos?
Four times, I think.
Four times. I mean, I've not even done it once because it just... there's too many episodes. I just can't be arsed.
Spencer we saw as well, which is the Diana film.
You've seen that? Why'd you go and see that?
I took my mum to see it.
Oh, and what do you think?
It was good. It was good. It is really art house. It was a really art house, unusual sort of... people have described it as a ghost story. It's very unusual and beautifully done, but I don't think you'd like it.
Right. Okay. The Royal Family are going through a weird time at the moment. I'd say a transitional period. It's interesting, isn't it? A lot of people making programs about them. There's the Netflix series. There seems to be myriad films. There's obviously all the Harry stuff, the Andrew stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the Queen's ill health at the moment and everything. It's a very interesting time for that Royal Family at the moment. So,
And then on Netflix, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I've been piling through Seinfeld again because it came on a few months ago onto Netflix, the whole lot. So I'll be watching that again. Endlessly.
Does it still stand up?
Absolutely, it does.
Okay, I watched Midnight Mass. Have you watched that?
I have not. No, is it? A lot of these are going to be on Sky Atlantic, where all the best TV is. And
No, it's Netflix.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, it's about a sort of religious community on an island.
Oh.
Do you know what? I loved it, and do you know why I like it? If you've watched it, you know what I'm saying here. Is there so much of it where nothing happens? Like, I think it's seven episodes and it could be four.
Yes.
It's like, I love that. They just like, they bother to pause. And I think that's the great thing with box sets is you can be asked just sit and pause and do nothing.
If it's good enough, I find it frustrating sometimes where they could fit it into a 2-hour film and they spread it over it. I do find that. I mean, like Narcos, I've started watching the final season of that. That's just like so much happens in every episode. They could only do that many. You know, there's no way they could fit that down. So,
well, I think if they did, if Midnight Mass, if they paced it up, it would be crap. I just think if they paced it up, it'd just be like pretty average. But because it's so bloody slow, you feel invested in it. And I think that's good. Succession is fantastic, but so bloody annoying that they're only launching one a week. I mean, it's the kind of the best thing on TV, but only what have you watched Succession?
I've started.
Fantastic. Ozark and Better Call Saul are coming back soon, Mark. Now, I need to talk to you about something because I decided to watch the Beatles documentary. But, you know, I've got into the Beatles recently. They're all right. They're a good band. They've got some good tunes, as you know. And I watched the Beatles documentary and it was about India and about the influence of their trip to India on their music. And it was utter shit. What a load of rubbish. And do you know why it was rubbish? I got so frustrated because I was like 20 minutes, half an hour in thinking, okay, this is quite interesting. And then you realise that at no stage are they playing Beatles music in it. So they're just like, they haven't got the clearance for the, you know, but what are Beatles known for? Music. Where's the bloody music? And they just, they don't have the rights to any of the songs, I suppose. No. Have you seen it? Have you seen the documentary?
I haven't seen that one. I've seen some where I start watching it and there's a really terrible voiceover and then there's some generic rock and roll and you go, oh, it's one of these, is it? And there's so many of them. There's loads of them on Netflix and on Amazon Prime and on DVD and wherever. And there's so many of them and they're so bad. It really, you've got to go to the anthology if you want the full story with all the music and all the
outtakes. We've got the great one coming up, haven't we?
I cannot wait.
Disney Plus. Have you seen any of the footage of it? It looks amazing because they actually look like they're actually writing the songs on it. Yeah.
That was the idea. So the Let It Be album was the whole idea was Paul's idea, which they were gonna start an album from start to finish. So the writing, the recording, and the releasing. And then they were going to play a big amphitheater or somewhere, and it turns out they just went on top of the building.
Can't you get a job as a Beatles historian or something? Doesn't that exist anywhere? Because you'd be great.
It does, and the best one, Mark Lewisohn, is the best at it.
You actually know someone? Jesus Christ! You absolute mushroom picker. That is so square. Unbelievable. What I love, though, is we were like sort of joking around because I watched the Stones documentary and that was fantastic. And, you know, just on the last podcast we did together, we were just sort of messing about Beatles versus Stones. And I was like, which one would you rather be? And I was sort of saying probably the Stones. And I was saying they're very cool, but maybe the Beatles, but only if I was going to be John Lennon, I suppose, and the Beatles. And then what I love is it's just kicking off between that lot. I mean, I don't know if you've read this, but Paul McCartney had described the Rolling Stones only about 2 weeks ago as a blues cover band in an interview with the New Yorker. He's 79, and he said he felt that the band's next cast was a bit wilder than the Rolling Stones. I mean, it was absolutely ridiculous that he called them a blues cover band, right? I mean, but why do that all these years later? I just have no idea. Anyway,
because he's promoting something.
Jagger responds, right, which I love, on the Zane Lowe show. He says, there's obviously no competition. The Rolling Stones are a big concert band in other decades and other eras when the Beatles never even did an arena tour, Madison Square Garden with a decent sound system. The Stones started doing stadium gigs in the 70s and are still doing them now. That's the real big difference between these two bands. One band is unbelievably luckily still playing in stadiums. The other band doesn't exist.
Because half of them are dead.
Yeah, but I just thought that was really quite funny because he's obviously, Jagger's taking it personally. Right, yeah. All these years later, so when did they both start? In the 50s or something? And then now they're, and then became big in the 60s. Roger Daltrey now, have you read this? So Daltrey's got involved. Brilliant. Daltrey's 77 years old. He's the young kid on the block. You cannot take away the fact that Mick Jagger is still the number one rock and roll showman up front, Daltrey said. But as a band, if you were outside a pub and you heard that music coming out of the pub, some might think, you know, well, that's a mediocre pub band. I think, but you know what this makes me think is that the music scene at the moment is so kind of dull in a way that actually it's up to 70-year-old men to be having a pop at each other about, your band's not very good. You sound like a blues band. Your band doesn't even exist. Your band's this, your band's that. So,
yeah, but you've got to remember Liam and Noel are only 20-odd years away from that age. They're still going to be doing that, aren't they?
Well, so I looked up Noel versus Damon Albarn on Google just to see if anything happened. And it did. Noel told Damon Albarn to fuck off after the Champions League final because Damon was there. And Noel goes, when I came out of the stadium, the first thing I saw was Albarn. And he said, you'll win it one day, mate. And I just went, fuck off, Albarn. it's like, it's brilliant. It's like all kicking off again. You know, we need a bit of this, don't we? Whose side are you on, right? You're Beatles, definitely Beatles.
Yes.
Now I'm going to go, this is so childish, but I'm going to go, Oasis or Blur?
Oasis.
Really?
Yes.
Did you were you into Blur at all?
Fine.
So you think both the Stones and Blur are fine? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Take that or E17.
Take that.
You're kidding me. Oh.
It's all about the music.
It is all about the music. Yeah. I just think that's great. I love it. I love the fact they're all arguing. Right. As well as what you're watching, what are you reading? We've both got into listening to audiobooks. There's so many autobiographies out. Now, I read a lot of books. You're not a big reader, are you, Mark?
I do. This sounds, I read when I have to. I read if it's A, not available, or B, it's for something, you know?
Because I have to I read for two reasons. The first reason is I decided to read myself out of depression, which is why we started the podcast in the first place. There was no such thing as audiobooks back then. And I decided, having depression, that I should just start reading about it all. And the more I learn, you know, it's always the way, you know, if you like fear and stuff, the more you know about what you're scared of, the easier it is. And so I just started reading. And that's when Mark and I said, should we do a podcast? And Mark, we sat there and we said, what should we do about it? And I said, I've read so many self-help books, we should do a self-help podcast. That's how it all started, wasn't it, Mark?
Yeah.
That sort of agony uncle thing. But, you know, because of my job, podcast here and also Sunday Brunch, I get through a lot of biographies, autobiographies, a lot of books and stuff like that. But I have to say, the standard of autobiographies at the moment is so high because I've read so many of them. And I've got to be honest, I think most celebrities get someone in to ghost it for them a bit. But
I don't know. Go on. Who have you read?
Well, to tell you what, because it's lockdown, all the comedians actually had time on their hands. And what was great about it, so every comic has got their autobiography out. But what is great about them is they had time to write them themselves. And because they've got a good brain, they think slightly differently. What they start doing is they start thinking, well, what can I do, which is a different form of autobiography? And because I've read so many of these things, it's been a real pleasure reading them. So I tell you who's is great. He's Jimmy Carr's is great.
Right. I've
interviewed him on the podcast. It's a self-help book, but it's just so smart. Lots of stuff about his career, lots of stuff about his life and all that sort of stuff, but loads of stuff about self-help and the way he thinks about life. Really interesting read. Daisy May Cooper, fantastic book. Really thoroughly enjoyed that. She talks a lot about how she just tried to make it and went to acting school and stuff. I mean, her book is just one of travesty, basically. It's just a complete disaster. Bob Mortimer, which I started reading, and then I switched to the audiobook because I like Bob. And I've got to say, that's a book of, we've discussed this off the podcast. It's a book of, I won't say two halves, but the first couple of chapters, I thought it took a while to warm up. And then, bam, absolutely brilliant. Loved it. One of the greatest things. And on the audiobook, I loved every minute of that. You did as well, didn't you?
I absolutely loved it. And yes, that's one of the things where I couldn't imagine reading that. I would have to listen to Bob Mortimer's delivery on, you know, what he's, you know, well, his delivery, essentially. He's so funny all the time. And even, but saying that, it's not all one note. It's really moving at other times as well. Really moving.
Also talks a lot about the industry and how to, you know, what his thoughts are. Lucy Beaumont, who's married to John Richardson, she does a good book about being a mother. Again, you know, someone said to me the other day on Twitter, stop being so nice about everyone's books. I can't believe they're all that good. But they genuinely are, because they're really well written, because it's comics writing them. So they're writing them, so they're really easy to digest. And they've got gags running through them and comedy. And Lucy, she has John Richardson at the bottom doing postscript, just commenting on everything she says, which is funny. And then Harry Hills, which I've got about half a dozen pages left to read, is just fantastic. And he does a postscript at the bottom as well. And he's always like, you know, when he does that camera on TV Burt, where he looks and says something to the camera, it's a bit like that. He's written it like that. So he says something, then he comments on what he said. Again, it's a really beautiful read where he takes every comedian he works with and explains what their technique was, calls them a genius, and then explains how it works. So Stuart Lee, he says it's very repetitive. And then you can see in Harry's work how he's taken the influences from all the different comics he's worked with and stuff. But he's so unique, I think, in the stuff he does. But he tells you really great stuff behind the scenes, like when he did an audience with and he absolutely bombed. But he says when you watch it back on TV, they put candle after all over it. And I went to YouTube immediately and went and watched it. And it is brilliant. It's so good. So, you know, the standard of those are great. Have you listened or read any, Mark?
I actually went back after listening to, I listened to Buxton's one, Adam Buxton's one, and I really enjoyed that, the Ramble book. And then I went through going back, listening to some really old ones that I thought, why haven't I listened to these? As you say, autobiographies by comedians. I went back, Nick Frost, which is great, Robert Webb, Matt Lucas, all, you know, all the kind of guy, just like all the people I sort of enjoyed their, you know, enjoy their work. David Mitchell, obviously, his first one. I'm sort of halfway through his second one at the moment. It's a little bit different. It's more, his second one's more articles. He's done his backstory now, so it's sort of, and it's called Backstory. But yeah, I really enjoy those. I find those so easy to listen to on long walks or, you know, whatever. It's just terrific.
If ever I write my biography, and I know you listening, you're champing at the bit, going, where is it, Tim?
The clamour for it.
Come on, we want to know about your life. It's so exciting. I just think I would cut to the bit where I've actually doing work, because I just think the childhood bits and all is just really kind of boring.
Nick Frost's teenage years are superb.
Really? I don't know. Yeah. What's the American guy? Because I never got past it. The one that we were discussing the other day. You loved it, and I started listening to it, and I stopped listening to it. You know, the bloke, the famous guy who writes all those films and stuff. Oh, God, what is his book called? Mark, help me out here. Come on.
I don't know what you're talking
about. Come on, because I told you I didn't like it, and you got angry with me because you said it was brilliant. What was it?
I wouldn't have got angry with you.
You did. You said I might not even... Seth Rogen. You said,
that was very funny.
I might not talk to you again. I was just all his childhood. It was so boring. It's like, yeah, you're a real square. We get it. Now, can you get onto the bits where you're actually doing something?
You know? You got to stick with that. It's an audio. The way I listened to it was the audiobook, and the production on the audiobook, which is what I loved about Adam Buxton as well, is they take that form. And so with Seth Rogen's one, he put loads of little sketches in there rather than, he obviously got rid of a chapter by just condensing it down into a sketch. So, for example, his grandparents were a bit
right.
So that was, I thought that was really clever. And there's some fantastic stories about meetings with people like Nicolas Cage and stuff, which just sound insane.
Good. Right, listen, as your loyal listeners to this podcast, I thought I'd do a bit of it in industry insider stuff, tell you a bit about the industry. This is a new item. I think it'll only last 1 week, but I'll give it a go.
It'll run out.
Yeah, I'll run out. But I was just talking to an agent the other day, and something that I sort of noticed but hadn't noticed. And she used this new expression. She said, the world of TV now is full of pivoting celebrities and reality stars. And I went, hold on, what's a pivoting celebrity? And she said, somebody who's famous for doing something, and then they're pivoting, and the commissioners are giving them TV shows. So you might be an ice dancer or an athlete or something. So I then start watching TV with that in mind. And I just, Ian Wright, game show. Gary Lineker, game show. Gordon Ramsay, game show. Danny Dyer, game show. Craig Charles, game show. Gino DeCampo, game show. It's the pivoting celebrity. Now I've said it, you're going to notice now that every show now that gets commissioned, it's reality star or it's pivoting celebrity. And I'm not saying any of them are good or any of them bad. Don't watch any of the shows, really, if I'm really honest with you. But pivoting celebrity is where it's at. So that's a bit of industry insider for you.
Yeah. One of those same time next year.
I asked our listeners for some questions. By the way, we've got the Liam Gallagher, the world famous Liam Gallagher takes Mark on a night out quiz coming up very soon, which is worth staying tuned for.
It is world famous.
It is. I'll get to that when we get there. But so I asked our listeners for some questions, and so we've got a couple come through here. The Punk Hotelier says, how do you find balancing things in your head when you're doing an interview? I find it can be tricky to both listen properly and think about what I have to ask next at the same time. Alternatively, so we've got two questions here. So I'll answer the first one first and we'll do the second question. So that's a really good question, that, actually, because the way I do it on my TV shows and my podcast is I really learn about the person I'm going to talk about. I work out the one thing they're going to plug, and then I just have a conversation with them. And that, so I don't have to think about what question I'm going to ask next, because I just sit and have a conversation with them. But I think I do that because that is the easiest way of doing it. And that's, oh, let's use the industry insider. So whenever I come into a TV show, and I've only done half a dozen because I've done them so often, you know, I've done Soccer M for years and Sunday Brunch and something for the weekend, whatever, is I try and arrange it so that every interview I do, all I have to do is just have a conversation rather than do an interview. And I think you can really see it when people are interviewing people. It's like this, you know, they're not going for, I was about to swear. I will swear. They're not going for a fucking job. They're there so they can tell you about their lives and sell their record or their book or whatever the hell they're doing. So, you know, you just want to have a chat with them. And I suppose that's how you do it. I have done a couple of shows before where I did the lottery show back in 2012, and you only get like 3 minutes. So you have to ask the question, answer it, ask it, answer it, ask it, answer it. That's it. And then you practice before you go on air. It's like, where's the ad lib bit? And they're like, there isn't any. I'm like, what? And then the only bit you ad lib is at the end, you've got either a 30 second, depending on how long the balls take to come up, Mark, because they're random, the balls. You either get a 30 second out, a 20 second out, or a 10 second out. And that's what they call. And that's literally it. It's just mental. I didn't enjoy doing that at all, because I like to, you know, I like to ad lib and just chat around to people. The second question is, what's been your favorite hotel or holiday accommodation experience? Mark, do you need time to think about that?
I do, please.
All right. Mine is, I don't know. Do I want to say it? I don't want anyone else to go there. all right. It's Malaysia. Once
I think people have been.
Yeah, I'm not going to say where. I didn't have a lot of money, and I turned up and I just spent a bit of money on going to a really top hotel. And it was that, I don't know if you've been to Malaysia, but the sea is warm. There was monkeys everywhere. I opened the window at night and I could hear the waves flashing up. There was a Korean conference going on, and there was this woman from Korea, and she was all painted with a white face, and she was singing that high-pitched stuff, you know, and that was from apparently a Korean thing as well. And it was just the most magical experience of amazing food, monkeys, and I just remember thinking, I'm always going to go back there. But I don't, Mark, because I think if I go back there, it'll be crap, because that's what happens if you go back the second time. You never remember it as well. But I remember being waist high in the water thinking, this is really warm. Yours is going to be Finland, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Yeah, it's a great place. I loved it. I'm going back at the end of the year, hopefully.
Can't you set up a Beatles museum in Finland and then in your spare time just pick mushrooms, you mushroom picker?
I actually emailed text my friend Ulrika, who lives in Helsinki, and she hadn't got back to me. I was actually asking her about dates this year to say hello when I go over there, and she didn't get back to me. So I'm so sorry, I've been on holiday, I've been mushroom foraging.
No, she's a mushroom picker.
Yeah, I didn't know.
That's the thing with the Finns. They're mushroom pickers just like you. You're all mushroom pickers. All right, let's do this. Let's go. I mean, we can't wait any longer for the world famous Liam Gallagher takes you out for a couple of drinks.
Come on then.
Can we? So no, you start with yours first. We'll just like let's keep the listener waiting.
Okay. Well, I've because I know that your favourite thing in the world is celebrity and showbiz. So
I love it. I love celebrity and showbiz. The business show.
I've written you five questions on this week's celebrity showbiz news that I've pulled out from the celebrity pages.
Oh Christ! I actually fancy myself on this. I really do.
Okay. Well, you won't be appearing in any of the questions.
Oh no, what sort of celebrities are we talking about here? They're crap ones. Go on then.
Okay, question one. Which US singer had their first glass of champagne in 14 years this week? Don't shout out the answer.
Why?
Because you're going to get them at the end and the listeners can play along. Come on, I'll rattle through them.
Oh what, so I'm just writing it down?
Yeah, write it down and I'll do them at the end.
That's not how the world famous Liam Gallagher takes you out for a couple of drinks.
I know it is. Well, this isn't that, is it? This is my amazing famous celebrity showbiz news quiz. Question two: which French footballer and pant model is appearing in this year's I'm a Celebrity?
I know that. Too easy, that one. But I like an easy one. I know that. I know that a lot. I've met him a few times. Nice fella.
Which 90s book and subsequent smash hit 1996 film is being turned into a musical?
I think I know that because I've done
of your podcast. Right, okay.
Yeah, so, okay. But I didn't know that, so that's interesting.
Okay, okay.
I got it on the year, though. That was the year I started Soccer AM. What a year 96 was. That was just like the explosion. Didn't Oasis's second album come out in 96? All happening. I was saying, actually, because I do a podcast on with Jay Glennie on Trainspotting, which might be the answer to that, because he's got a new book out, which is great. You'll love this podcast. And it's a real lovely bit of nostalgia, but I called the 90s our 60s, and he loved it. He said, that's good. It was just such a great time, you know. It's like everyone going out having a...
97 was Be Here Now, wasn't it?
I don't know. It was such a creative time, though. And that's what we were saying. It was like they were giving people movies, they were giving people TV shows, and everything seemed to change and just make... It was just so much fun. Everyone was just really enjoying themselves. Anyway, what's the next
question? 4, which US chat show host... have musical fans petitioned Disney not to be in their upcoming film adaptation of Wicked? So there's a chat show host, a US chat show host.
All right.
And fans have, and you know that one, do you? Okay.
I don't know. I'm guessing.
Okay, fine. And they've petitioned them not to be.
Oh, no, I haven't got it.
I'd
written down Ellen, but clearly it's not. So
they've petitioned Disney for them not to put them in the new Wicked film.
Oh.
And
right,
question,
so it's got to be someone it's got to be someone youngish, hasn't it? Like did you say chat show host?
I did say chat show host. Yeah.
So, but it's like Kimmel or Conan, or Conan's not chat show host anymore.
Come on, you've had enough time on this. We won't have enough time for the amazing, right, phantasmagorical Liam Gallagher.
World famous Liam Gallagher takes you out for a couple of pints, drinks quiz.
You're going to get this one. I didn't realise actually how much showbiz news you did look at. This has really opened my eyes because I did half of these. Which UK singer did Oprah Winfrey interview this week?
Oh, that's so easy. That's amazing. I might have got a full house here.
Okay.
I'll
run through them very quickly.
Go on.
The US singer that had their first glass of, had their first drink at all in 14 years.
See, I don't know that, but I assume it's Britney Spears because she got rid of her dad.
There you go.
Did I get that right? Free
you
Britney.
You did get that right.
Yes.
14 years. I mean, I did Sober October, so it was sort of similar.
Oh, man. There was like on one of my WhatsApp groups the other day, there was this bloke, right? John, I hope he doesn't listen to this. He goes, thank you everyone for sponsoring me. And I was like, what'd you do? And he goes, I didn't drink for October. I'm like, what? People are sponsoring you not to do something. That's absolutely insane. So I went to all my mates, can you sponsor me not to do heroin and bloody ketamine this month? I mean, that's how are people getting sponsored not to drink? Is that like, why can't they do lengths of a swimming pool for 25p like the good old days? Right, next one, answer.
The French footballer appearing in this year's I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here is David Ajinola.
Are you? I got that. David Ajinola. Yeah. But I need to do the answer. And you need to tell me if it's right or not. The next answer is a musical is Trainspotting. Why the hell are they turning that into a musical?
Irvine Welsh and his one of his like collaborators, they've written all the songs for it. So it's all going to be using music of the dance music and the, like, I suppose, the rock music as well of that time.
Jake Glennie says there's a play from it, which is run at Edinburgh, and just before the pandemic, which is because there was a play before the film, actually. The play running at Edinburgh was insane. It was said it was just full on, really hardcore and full on. So if you get a chance to go and see that, go and see it. Right. So this chat show host.
Who musical fans have petitioned Disney not to be in the film adaptation of Wicked is.
So I went with Ellen because people don't like her at the moment because she was a bully. But Ellen is not a man, and you said he. You made a mistake, you see. And I picked up on that like Sherlock Holmes. So I think it's. I'm going to go, I don't know why it would be, but I'm going to go Jimmy Kimmel.
So close sounding. It's James Corden.
Oh, why are they petitioning him?
He's been in quite a few, and everyone, and they're just like, no more James Corden, mate.
No more
but 50,000 people in 4 days. It felt a little bit a little bit mean-spirited, to be honest, I thought, but there you go.
Yeah, there you go. And the final question, who sat down in Oprah's garden to make even more money between the two of them is Adele.
I met
Adele once in a chicken shop.
Did she?
Yeah, she was lovely. I really liked her. She speaks like that. Right, she will stop me. I liked her. Yeah. She was lovely. Okay, it's now time for the world famous Liam Gallagher takes you out for a couple of drinks quiz. Liam Gallagher has taken Mark out. I know the story. Mark can't remember it. He might remember bits and bobs, but he's got to answer the questions because he went out for a couple of drinks. The world famous Liam Gallagher takes you out for a couple of drinks quiz. Now, people get mistaken here and they think that I'm saying the quiz is world famous. I'm not. I'm saying Liam Gallagher's world famous. So the world famous Liam Gallagher takes you out for a couple of drinks quiz. Right. It's not the quiz that's world famous. It's Liam Gallagher. He is world famous. I think he's world famous. Though I'm not sure how big he is in South Korea. So hi, Liam, says Mark, as he wanders into the pub. Mark meets him at the King's Head by the fruit machine. Come in, Mark, have a pint of this. Australians wouldn't give a 4X for anything else. What was he drinking, Mark?
Do you want me to say now?
Yeah, because we're going on the journey.
Okay, Castlemaine,
correct, 1-0. Liam is battered and says, I've bought us some plane tickets. And Mark's very excited about this. He's going away with Liam Gallagher. How could he not be excited? Both of them were wearing their parkas because it was quite chilly outside.
I've forgotten how much padding there was in this.
He shows you two plane tickets. On them, they have the airport code.
The
code is SFA. Mark goes, I know where we're going. Where are you going? SFA.
I mean, San Francisco.
Yes.
Yeah, I nearly said South Africa.
South Africa. 2-0. Liam says, Mark, he goes, all right, Mark, before we go, I need to get back to me house and get me toiletries. I never leave home without me toothbrush, hair mousse and moisturizer. Mark says, I thought you used hair clay now, Liam. Liam says, fuck that. I'm not putting no fucking clay in my hair, you fuckwit. Anyway, they go back to Liam's house after 7 pints of Castlemaine 4X. Pete Doherty is there. He's off his tits and he's cooking. Lads, I can't remember what this is I'm making, but I can tell you the ingredients. Liam and Mark go, go on then, Pete, tell us. So his ingredients are blanched almonds, Bramley cooking apples, candied peels, nutmeg, raisins, plain flour, white breadcrumbs, sugar, muscovado sugar, eggs, brandy or cognac, and butter. What was Pete making? He'd forgotten. Mark, he was off his he was in his suit, he had his trilby hat on, but he was off his tits. He had a guitar slung around his waist.
I can't
shirt on, and he was really off his face, but he was making something delicious. What was he making?
I can't remember the name of them, but I can see them. They're like a sort of small pie.
No,
they're not.
No,
okay,
it's a very common food.
Blanched almonds,
Bramley cooking apples.
Are they ground almonds?
I don't know. Yeah, they will. I don't know, actually. But I'm going to tell you the main ingredients, Mark, just to help you. Go for raisins, flour, breadcrumbs, sugar, eggs, and then think about where brandy and cognac would come into this.
Oh, this is a hard one.
You don't put the brandy and cognac in the mixture.
I mean, it's not the sort of
on the mixture because you light it and mix it into a...
Is it a crepe of some sort?
It's around Christmas time you have it.
What, a Christmas pudding?
It's a Christmas pudding, Mark.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
That is a mad recipe you've looked up there.
So Pete is eating it was the one just on the BBC Good Food thing. That's all I got it off. So see you, Peter, says Mark and Liam, and they leave for the airport. They get to the airport. Liam goes to duty free, as he always does, and buys a bottle of Bombay Sapphire. In fact, he buys two. He says, come on, Mark, we've got half an hour. We're going to do half an hour, no talking, just drinking and listening to the Beatles. What, Mark, are you drinking with Liam?
I'm drinking a gin.
You're drinking gin. Well, yeah. Mark, that is correct. You get, what's that? You've got, it's 4-1. 4-1. One to the, no, 3-1. 3-1. 3-1. Anyway, so you're drinking your gin. Well, the plane is delayed, so Liam goes back to duty free and gets two bottles of Dan Aykroyd's Crystal Head. What sort of spirit is that, Mark?
I know that. That's a tequila.
Wrong!
Oh,
3-2. 3-2. It's a vodka.
Is it?
Yeah, I interviewed him and he wouldn't stop.
I know, but I remember it being a tequila.
No. He said, the one I had in my house, which was a skull, is a tequila, but the one he has is a vodka. He said it's the purest vodka you can get, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, with you and Liam, it goes on and on. You're listening to all the albums. You've got the White Album. You've gone through that. You've gone through the greatest hits. You've gone through Revolver.
nearly named. The greatest hits.
Then you listen to the greatest hits again. And then you go, and then Liam's gone, listen to this track. Listen to this one. This one's great. It's called Come On. And it goes on and on and on. And you're battered. The next 24 hours are a bit sketchy. But you wake up in your hotel room. You open your eyes and you look over. And there is Paul McCartney and Mick Jagger arm wrestling to see who's the best band. You go into your pocket and you find some Christmas pudding. You say, anyone want some Christmas pudding that Pete Doherty made? Jagger says to McCartney, you take the piss out of the Stones when you release Having a Wonderful Christmas Time. Who the fuck wrote Octopus's Garden or Yellow Submarine? You are a children's entertainer.
Don't forget the frog song.
Did he do the frog song?
Macca did, yeah.
Did he? Oh, my God, I missed that out. Children's. Yeah, Macca can't go throwing rounds, you know, sticks and stones who wrote a Yellow Submarine, Mark?
Well, it was, I think it was a Paul one, but John did write it as well. Octopus's Garden, that was Ringo who wrote that.
Really?
Yes.
But Having a Wonderful Christmas Time, is that Wings or was that?
No, that's, I think that's Macca.
Was that Wings or was that just him on his own?
I think it's just him on his own.
He did Marla Cantar. That was a good song, wasn't it? I quite like that one. So there you go. All right. So Jagger and McCartney, they're having a bit of a thingy, right? And then, Mark, you look out the window to see you are not in San Francisco, but you've been so off your, absolutely just so battered that you've woken up somewhere. You look out the window and you see the San Siro Stadium. Where are you?
I'm somewhere in Italy. Am I in Milan?
Milan, correct. 4-2, takes it away. Liam is getting pissed off with McCartney and Jagger. And he says, come on, let's settle this once and for all. We'll ask Mark. Mark, who's the best band? At this point, Roger Daltrey comes out of the toilet, worst for wear, and said, yes, I know we're the best band. The Beatles and the Stone are pub bands. If you were to stand outside a pub and you heard the music come out, you'd think mediocre pub bands. But The Who, we're mods, we're legends. Anyway, gents, I'm going fishing, but I've got tickets to watch Milan play the Old Lady. What team in Italy's nickname is the Old Lady?
That would be Juventus.
5-2. And that is the end of the world famous Liam Gallagher takes you out for a couple of drinks.
Oh, that was very good. It's very entertaining.
Except the famous bit is Liam Gallagher, not the quiz, just to make sure you know that. So did you enjoy your night out, Liam?
I'm absolutely exhausted. I text you half the way through to say, God, this is a long night.
Well, that's it from us. I think if you've got any questions for us or if you ever fancy me doing the Liam quiz again, then I think that's got legs, that, you know. I reckon that could be a TV format. Yeah, maybe
a TV show with Liam Gallagher's name in it without him appearing at all.
I don't know, maybe we could get him to do it.
act it out.
Come on, Liam, get on a plane. Let's get you some cheese. So you did well there. You got Castlemaine, you got San Francisco. You didn't get Christmas pudding.
That's because I dispute the recipe.
Yeah, well, I did get off, you know, you have to have a go at BBC for that. And that's where I got it.
I was going to go for an apple strudel as well.
Yeah, apple strudel was good. You've got gin right. You didn't get the vodka right. You got Milan, and you got Juventus. Mark, it's been thoroughly enjoyable. Should we try and do one over Christmas?
That'd be a great idea.
And I can write you another one of my, well famous Liam takes you out for a couple of.
Well, it'd have to be a Christmas drinks. Or New Year trip, wouldn't it then?
Yeah, well, that's probably what will happen anyway. You'll probably hang out with him. That's it from us. If you want to drop me an email at all, if you want to hear any more of this rubbish I do with Mark, let us know. Lovejoyhour@gmail.com. And we'll see you very soon. See ya.
Bye.